Welcome to the final section, part three of our interview with Charlie Meeker of the Meeker Vineyard. Are you doing any late harvest at all, or any kind of dessert wines?
We do two dessert wines, but not late harvest. I actually don't particularly care for particularly red late harvest because I think they too often get pruny or raisiny cooked flavors from being left out in the vineyard. But we do two wines that are, in effect, ice wine equivalents. They're not ice wines because they're not frozen in nature, but we have a big, huge chilling unit in our winery, and we freeze them in the winery.
Okay.
And we do one, or the first one we did is called Tutta Luna, and it's a blend of Muscat, Gewürztraminer, and Chenin Blanc, and we freeze it. And the same thing, we do this. It's exactly the same thing physically as an ice wine.
Let me just interrupt you real quick, just to go back. You're saying you're freezing the grapes after you harvest them, or
in the white wine, we crush the grapes, we take the juice, we freeze it, and in an ice wine, when it's 10 degrees or 15 degrees outside, the first, if you remember your high school chemistry, sugar solutions have a lower freezing point than water. So the first thing that freezes in the berry is pure water. And if you press the berry while it's still crystalline, while the water's crystalline, you get a very concentrated solution of flavor and acid, and so it makes a wonderful dessert wine. We do the same thing, except a small stainless tank is no different than a berry. We chill the tank to 15 degrees and leave it there for 2 weeks, and inside the chilling coils, we get a big donut of ice, and we drain out the unfrozen slush and keep that and throw the ice away. What we do that's unique is I wanted to do the same thing with a red wine, because with an ice wine you'll never see a dark red ice wine because they have to be pressed while they're frozen, and it doesn't, you know, you and the color comes from the skins, right? And doesn't work. And we have a wine called Frozen that's 100% Zinfandel.
I like that.
And I can explain it, but it takes a little while. But we have a process that we invented and worked out, and it ends up we end up with it's about 16% residual sugar, and the alcohol is about 11.5 to 12%, and you serve it chilled. And it is when you taste it with anything dark chocolate. In our tasting room, we say, think of it as an Oreo cookie. Taste the wine so you know we're not tricking you. Then take a little bite of dark chocolate, and then chase the dark chocolate with some more of the wine. And 85% of the people look at you, and they always say the same word, wow. So we're very proud of that. So we do both of those, and it's unique. Nobody else in the world does it.
You guys are keeping really busy over there. So tell me about the teepee.
The teepee. As I said, the first winery we built was very small, and we didn't have any facility for tasting. We had a big barrel room, we had a tiny bathroom, and a really very small lab. And when people started showing up, you know, if it was nice, you could taste outdoors. But if it was raining or cold, and there are people that tell me about being in the lab where it was body to body, and people were passing glasses overhead to get it washed, and Michael Lukasik was the winemaker. This was when I was at MGM, and Michael was on a hunting trip in New Mexico, and he called me one morning and said, well, I was at a bar last night, and guess what happened? And I thought, oh, my God, I've got to bail him out. And he said, I bought a teepee. And I said, oh, I mean, what do you say? And he said, it's 40 feet tall. It's an authentic Sioux teepee. And I said, Michael, I had kids. I said, that'll never fit in your backyard. I'm thinking the little teepee. He said, I didn't buy it for my kids. He said, I signed a contract in the winery's name, and we're putting it up outside the winery as a tasting room. And I'm not normally very quick on the repartee, but I said, Michael, you were smoking the wrong kind of cigarette. I said, I've dreamed of French chateaus and Italian villas, but never, ever have I thought of a Sioux teepee. And he said, I've already bought it. The poles are being delivered tomorrow. And I said, yeah, and you're paying for it out of your salary. And we had this big fight. And he had a Sioux medicine man come do the blessing ceremony. They put it up. They faced the door, faced it east. And when I was – first time I was in it, it was like, oh, my God, this is really an incredible – I mean, it was really an incredible thing. And it was – except for being larger than normal, it was an authentic Sioux teepee. Yeah. And, you know, it was like the greatest marketing. I mean, Michael had a really genius for marketing.
Who would have thought?
And people loved it. I mean, who would have thought? I mean, Molly's saying to me, Charlie, we're going to have Indian tribes, you know, Indians picketing the winery saying, you know, no alcohol and all that. And people loved it. We've never had, never ever had. And we took it down when we sold that property. But we're in the permit process now to build a new winery on the property where we live still in Dry Creek. And we're planning to put the teepee back up.
So you still have it then?
Well, the canvas, the canvases had to be replaced every 3 years, but we have the posts and we'll get the same medicine man, if he's still alive, to come do another blessing ceremony. And we're going to put, our wine club members say, there's no way you can build a new winery and not put the teepee back up.
Yeah.
So we'll see what the county of Sonoma says. You don't have to get a building permit for the teepee because it's considered to be a membrane structure, like a tent.
A tent.
So hopefully we can put it back up.
Good luck.
Yeah. Anyway, it's fun. You know, it's crazy. And I'm Molly and I, and I just have one more second. When we used to go to Napa, we loved going to Napa. But sometimes we'd come out of a tasting and we'd say we felt like we had been to mausoleums to worship dead grapes. People were so serious, and the music is, you know, it's like a funeral parlor. And that's not what we think about wine. We think about wine's fun. And so we've always, you know, we had a teepee. Right now, our tasting room is in Geyserville, a little town north of Healdsburg. We're in a 108-year-old bank building, little tiny. We have a bank vault, huge bank vault, a real authentic nickel, you know, foot thick. And, you know, and it's fun. And it's and if you look at our labels, all our wines have different labels. And a lot of them are, you know, pretty lighthearted. And we just have a great time with it because we don't think wine's supposed to be a serious thing. It's fun, you know.
We're going to have some pictures on our Facebook page, and I hope to get a picture of the front of your tasting room in Geyserville.
Okay, cool.
Off the record for a moment, I was up in Christmas time and drove right by it because I was on my way up to see Blue Rock, if you know Kenny Kahn.
Yeah.
Did I say Blue Rock? Yeah, Blue Rock, right around the corner. I remember that day because I had the flu when I had to go up to see him.
Yeah,
and not only did I have the
flu. Well, Geyserville is a thriving metropolis. It has one stop sign in downtown.
Brentwood was very kind of Rootstock Wine Distributors to suggest talking about Meritage, and because you're big in blending. So tell me about that.
Meritage is a word that was invented in California to describe a Bordeaux blend. And it's a blend made of Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, Merlot, and Petit Verdot. And I think there were six varieties of red grapes in Bordeaux. The other two were Malbec and a grape that you don't see very much except from Chile called Carmenere. I think Meritage includes Malbec. I don't know if it includes Carmenere. And so a lot of people – you pay a certain royalty to use the name, and it's a name that I think has taken hold. We actually don't use it, not because there's any problems with it. And incidentally, it's Meritage, and it's not the French pronunciation, so it's Meritage.
Not Meritage. Which is what everybody
thinks. Everyone says, but you're not supposed to say it with the French pronunciation.
It's funny because Meritage sounds like two rocks banging
right,
together.
Yeah.
Meritage, of course, is much more eloquent, like Bordeaux is.
We actually do our most expensive and maybe the best wine we've ever made is called Four Kings, and it used to say on the label Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, Merlot, and Petit Verdot are the Four Kings of Bordeaux. Now we can't mention, but there's a treaty where you can't mention. Foreign appellation names like Chablis, you can't put that on a bottle anymore.
Mm.
So now our back label says of a well-known wine region on the other side of the Atlantic,
near a river.
And in fact, it's very funny. In Frozen, the dessert wine we talked about earlier, on the back it says, "This isn't late harvest. This isn't port. It's Frozen." Da da da. The result of grape dreams. And we got a letter from the government about a year ago saying, you can't say port on your rear label. We say, it says it isn't port.
You just can't use the word.
Can't use the word.
Wow.
So,
Thank you to our government for that. Charlie, for our listeners to learn about you online, how would they find out about you guys?
We have a website, Meeker Wine, Meekerwine, singular wine.com. And our daughter, Kelly. Maintains that. We're on Facebook. We Twitter. I mean, I don't do any of that. My daughter does everything. But we have a really nice, I think, nice website. Somebody tells me that if you do something on our Facebook page, that Kelly is very good about responding every day. So it's, you know, it's an important thing in today's wine world.
Absolutely. Well, and we use it, and I hope our listeners check you out on it.
And we invite your listeners to come visit us. We love to give tours of the winery. So if they want, if they're in Sonoma County and they want a tour, they can email me. It's Charlie, spelled with an I-E, at meekerwine.com.
And you'll answer.
And I'll answer. I'll send them directions. And while we're waiting to build a new winery, we're in a warehouse in Santa Rosa. It's not as glamorous as Dry Creek, but it's a real winery. So
when's your place going to be finished?
You have to ask, as my wife puts it, the People's Republic of Sonoma County to see. We're in the permit process. They've already told us we're sure to get the permit, but we're going through.
Just we've been what through. Decade you'll get it
we've been through archaeological reports, two biological reports to make sure there's no endangered insects or plants or animals.
Sure.
Now we're doing a noise study to make sure that we won't create any more noise bothering the neighbors than the other three wineries within 300 yards of our place.
Wow.
And hopefully we'll build next year.
I hope you do. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
This has been a real pleasure talking to you. You're a bit of a character, and you've got some great history, and I thank you for taking the time to come visit us.
It's a pleasure. I really enjoyed it.
Learn more about Charlie at meekerwine.com.
Thanks for listening to this program. Watch for our next podcast featuring Blackbird Vineyards owner Paul Leary. Cheers.
Life Between the Vines was produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Original music by Tim Turton. Web design by Jenny Holland. Our web geek is Tim Panicucci. Photos by Jeanette Herniak. Copyright 2012.